Chopin's F minor nocturne, opus 55, number 1, played by Nelson Gurner as an encore, concluding his lunchtime concert live from Wigmore Hall here on BBC Radio 3. For now, on to Broadcasting House.
That was Sarah Moore Peach, who was live when we first broadcast that concert last October, and she'll be live again tomorrow. Seems a long time since the end of our last series just before Christmas, but the Radio 3 lunchtime concert is now back at Wigmore Hall for the first live edition of 2017, an all-English programme of harpsichord music played by Richard Egar. That's tomorrow, just after the 1 o'clock news.
Opera on Three presents Richard Strauss's bittersweet comedy, Der Rosenkavalier. A story of love, scheming and self-sacrifice set to an opulent score. The star cast includes René Fleming, Alice Coote and Sophie Bevan. Der Rosenkavalier, live from the Royal Opera House next Saturday afternoon at 5:45.
Well, back to this Sunday afternoon. It's getting on for 4 minutes past two. High time for this week's early music show. Today, Lucy Skeeping marks the 350th anniversary of the birth of the Venetian composer Antonio Lotti.
Harry Christophers conducted the 16 in that setting of the Crucifixus by Antonio Lotti. It's probably his most famous work, the most often performed, and no wonder with those lovely rich textures and clashing harmonies. They really give you goosebumps. But there's a lot more to Lottie than that, as we'll find out over the next hour on today's Early Music Show. Now, we do love an anniversary here on Radio 3, and Lottie was born in Venice 300 years ago, almost to the day, on the 5th of January 1667. His father, Matteo, was Kapellmeister in Hanover, and so away from home much of the time. But when it became clear that his son had inherited the musical genes, Antonio, now age 15, went off to study with a local man, who just happened to be one of the top men in the business, the great opera composer and vice maestro of St Mark's Basilica, Giovanni Legrenzi. It was a wonderful opportunity, offering the very best of connections, and it wasn't long before young Lottie was performing there himself, first as an alto in the choir, then working his way up to be organist, until finally becoming maestro di cappella, in charge of, well, everything. But I'm jumping the gun. There was still lots of experience to be got before he was ready to claim that great prize, and Lottie served a solid apprenticeship as a freelance, writing and performing for various different churches around the island city. And there certainly were enough of them to keep him busy, over 100, large and small, all of which required music for festivals, celebrations, saints' days, not to mention the odd investiture of some Venetian noblewoman into a convent. Most of his non-liturgical sacred music for choir, soloists and instruments would have been composed for such occasions when expense and extravagance were not spared and the chance to experiment with writing modern, daring music was welcomed rather than the more austere and devotional four-part choral works backed by the organ that were the more usual fare at St Mark's. So let's hear something. This is Lottie's Dixit Dominus, thought to have been written for performance at the Ospedale degli Incurabili, the orphanage come school where he was chorus master.
Sanctorum, exum.
Cyrid Consort and the Orchestra of St Paul's, conducted by Ben Palmer, in that recording of Antonio Lotti's Dixit Dominus in G minor. It was probably written for the Ospedale degli Incurabili, one of Venice's four orphanages, where performances of a very high standard centred around its fabulous galleried painted hall that's still preserved to this day. Music played a large part in church services during the 18th century. Actually, some felt it played too great a part, that the services were becoming more like concerts at times, with the liturgy interspersed with both vocal and instrumental music. But it meant there was a great demand for new music, and Lotti was ready to oblige. It's not always obvious these days when or for what occasion some of the early composers wrote their music, but it seems likely that this next piece is another that Lotti wrote for the young pupils of the Ospedale, because it's far less technically demanding than the sort of thing heard at St Mark's, where the highly trained professional choir would often include retired operatic castrati. It's Lotti's motet, Alma Ride Exulta Mortalis, an all-purpose piece you could call it, since it could be used to celebrate any of the feast days. My spirit smiles, rejoice, O mortal, fashion trophies, sing of the triumphs.
Exulta mortalis, exulta mortalis. Thank you.
Irie Lawson was the soprano with La Serenissima, directed by Adrian Chandler, in the motet Alma Ride Exalta Mortalis by Antonio Lotti, who's the subject of today's early music show on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping. Away from the church, the big thing in Venice in the late 17th, early 18th centuries was, of course, opera. In fact, Lotti's teacher, Giovanni Legrenzi, had made his name in the city as an opera composer, and Lotti was desperate to follow in his master's footsteps. His first opera was given in 1692 and was very well received, as were those that followed, more than 16 of them over the next few years, during which Lotti found time to marry one of his stars, the soprano Santa Stella. I couldn't find any paintings of her. Perhaps she was just too busy rehearsing to sit for one. But Burney described her as full of dignity on stage, with effortless high tones and a good shake. And it was Lotti who also launched the career of a young castrato, who would go on to become one of the most famous singers in the world, Senesino. By 1717, with his operatic reputation now well established, Lotti was given leave by his employers at St Mark's to go to Dresden, where there was a thriving opera scene at the court of Augustus the Strong. The musical director there was Johann Heinichen, who had a great passion for all things Venetian, and he was happy enough to welcome this celebrated Lotti into his fold for a time, not least because he had such an impressive contact list of expert singers. We know that at least five of Lotti's operas were premiered in Dresden, including Teofane, which was given in the Palace Gardens in the summer of 1719 as part of the sumptuous wedding celebrations of Crown Prince Friedrich Augustus and Maria Josepha, Archduchess of Austria. A brand new 2,000-seat opera house had been built specially for the occasion, and of course Lotti drafted in his wife and the famous Senesino at no small expense. Teofane is set in the early Byzantine world, and the plot is a complicated story of love and misunderstanding. The young emperor, Ottone, is betrothed to the princess Teofane, but in this aria, mistakenly thinking her in love with another, he sings of his sadness and confusion. Conflicting thoughts make war together in my anxious heart. I ache with tender affection and yet feel deeply offended. I don't know which is greater, my anger or my sorrow.
Thank you.
Andreas Scholl with Ottavio Dantone directing Accademia Byzantina. In that aria, Discordi Pensieri from Antonio Lotti's opera Teofane. It was first performed in Dresden in September 1719 in a production starring Lotti's wife alongside the famous castrato Senesino, for whom that aria was written. The composer Joachim Kvantz was at one of the performances and later noted how impressed he was by Senesino's powerful, clear and sweet contralto voice and perfect intonation. His manner of singing was masterly, he wrote, his elocution unrivalled and his action was natural and noble. No wonder Lotti kept employing him. Teofane was Lotti's last opera for Dresden, and after the run he returned to Venice, where he remained for the rest of his life, composing, teaching and playing the organ at the Basilica of San Marco. Now in his early 50s, his influence in Venice was immense, and he counted amongst his pupils some of the great composers of the next generation, Marcello, Galuppi and Zelenka, to name just three. Now, the music we've heard so far has all been vocal, sacred and choral, from the operatic stage. But Lotti did dabble in instrumental music too, including just one concerto written for the oboe d'amore, an instrument that he may well have chosen because it has a particularly voice-like quality to it. It's played here by oboist Albrecht Meyer with the New Seasons Ensemble.
Thank you.
Antonio Lotti's Concerto for Oboe d'Amore in A Major, played there by Albrecht Meyer, who also directed the new season's ensemble. And I'm afraid that brings us almost to the end of today's show. At the ripe age of 69 and after almost 47 years of service, Lotti was finally elevated to Venice's top musical post of Maestro di Cappella at St. Mark's, the place where he'd started off all those years ago as a chorister. He was a broad-minded composer, aware of the gradual changes around him in style and taste, and his music really seems to cross that bridge between the established Baroque and the newly emerging classical styles, whilst also recalling the earlier world of the Renaissance. And we'll close the programme with a piece that does just that, a madrigal in the old tradition called In Constanza Femminile, Feminine Fickleness.
Thank you.
A madrigal by Antonio Lotti in Constanza Femminile. In that performance, Alan Curtis directed the ensemble Il Complesso Barocco. And that ends today's Early Music Show, which was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. Next week, Hannah French will be in Toronto with the violinist Jean Lemon to talk about her career as former music director and current artistic advisor to the Tafelmusik Baroque Orchestra. We'll also be hearing extracts from her very extensive collection of recordings. That's next week's Early Music Show at the usual time, 2 o'clock. Now, just before choral evensong, Sarah Moore Peach wants to tell us about who she'll be talking to on today's edition of The Choir.
She's written over 100 scores for TV, film and theatre and was the first woman ever to win an Oscar for a complete film score. Rachel Portman is my guest on The Choir this afternoon, sharing some of her favourite choral music. And I've gems like a rare recording of raw American gospel from the 1960s and a trio for clarinets and voices by Mozart. Join me, Sarah Moore Peach, for our weekly celebration of singing together. The Choir, here on Radio 3 at 4 o'clock.
And there's choral music now on Radio 3 as part of a service for Epiphany, which was recorded in the chapel of King's College London. The service is led by the chaplain of King's, the Reverend Tim Ditchfield, and includes the four Christmas motets written in 1952 by Francis Poulenc and the 1907 choral piece that Arnold Schoenberg called an illusion for mixed choir, Frieda auf Erden, Peace on Earth. The service begins now with the Plainsong office hymn, From East to West, From Shore to Shore.